today on Real Radio.
I just need to see a miracle. If I see a miracle, I'll believe in God. No, you won't. If Jesus would speak to me, have him open up the sky, talk to me, I'll believe. No, you won't. It goes to show you how depraved the human heart is. We need to be changed from the inside out.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues our series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, with a message called How to Change Your Mind, Repentance, and the Will of God, Part 3. Thanks for joining us today as we see the intense comparison between the Christ follower and those who go their own way. During this series, we consider the rewards for everyone who calls Jesus the Savior compared to the terrible judgment that awaits those who refuse to believe that he is the Messiah. In part 2 of Isaiah chapter 65, we learn that God is the God of reason, purpose, and meaning. God pursues us with a purpose. A life of fulfillment and purpose is possible when our hearts and minds are stayed on Him. When God is not on our minds, our thoughts can grow dark, and that's when pride sets in and we stop pursuing Him. But you know what? There is hope. We can change our minds back towards the Lord, who, by the way, is always ready to forgive and who never stops pursuing us. So today on day 2 of this message, Pastor Jack shows us the future according to Revelation chapter 19 and how it relates to Isaiah's prophecies that have not yet come to pass. Our future in Christ will be awesome. He has prepared things that we can't even imagine for us who love Him. And now, continuing his lesson called How to Change Your Mind, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
But he goes on, verse 17, "And the former, that is all things prior to the eternal state, shall not come into remembrance or come to mind." That is great news. Imagine how much many, many people, if not all of us, let's just be honest, all of us to some degree or another are affected by the past. In some degree, your past controls your life. Doesn't have to be that way. God wants to break that. But what great news to know that in the eternal presence of God, the past is washed away. You will not be up in heaven saying, "Man, I sure wish my husband would have made it up here." Or my dog, or what, I don't know what, I'm just, whatever. You know what I'm saying? You won't even think about them. You'll be with him in the eternal presence of God, and he says the former things of old, they won't be there to plague you. You'll have no remembrance of all that was. Now you say, wait a minute, does that mean our brains are washed clean and we're just like kind of like up there, duh? No, because we will know that we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that he brought us out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. But think about, were you abused in this world? Were you trafficked in this world? Were you whatever in this world? And that's gonna, you know, every time I think about that in heaven, it's gonna bum me out. Guess what? You ain't gonna think about that in heaven. It's not gonna cross your mind, thank God. It will not be in you. It will be done away. What a wonderful thing. We need to educate ourselves about the future. It's bright, it's great. And so, it says, for example, that the reality and the truth of the Bible is God's promise to us. He will fulfill. And the scriptures tell us that in Revelation 19, I think we touched on this last time together, but in Revelation 19, verse 11, I want to read you this chunk of scripture. And this is what's going to be leading up to this advent of the millennial age, that thousand-year reign of Christ when he comes back. And we need to educate ourselves about it. Don't be bored with this. This is the future. This is something that every believer will experience. Revelation 19, verse 11. "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes," this is Christ coming in the second coming, His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with the robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, here you come, clothed in fine linen. Okay, this is cool. The armies in heaven, it says in a moment, were on horses with him. How's that going to work? I don't know. But fine linen, this is wedding apparel. Who brings an army with wedding clothes on? Or if you really want to push it, the bride of Christ, you know, the church is the bride of Christ. She wears fine white linen, clean and bright, says the Bible. She's also referred to as an army. That's some gal. On a horse, she's got a veil, white, hand grenades on her hips, swords, bazooka, I don't know, flamethrower. She's something. I don't know how that's going to look, but the Bible's never failed. It's not going to fail. It says they're white and clean. She followed him on white horses. Verse 15, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. That's awesome, perfect authority. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look at verse 17. John says, then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, that is the atmosphere, not starry heaven, that's the atmosphere that you and I breathe, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them and the flesh of all people, free and slave. This is Jesus Christ at the second coming when he judges the earth. Puts an end to Armageddon, and he begins to judge. Verse 19, and I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war, that is Armageddon, against him who sat on the horse and against his army. It's absolutely amazing. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs, miracles and signs and wonders in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast. You guys remember the mark from verse chapter 13? It's 666, that number, that dreaded, infamous number, 666. And those who worshiped his image, these two were cast alive into the fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. Is this your picture of Jesus? Wow, and people say, I don't read the Old Testament because that's a whole different God. Clearly, they don't read the book of Revelation then either. It's the same God. It's just right now you are enjoying the age of grace. When the play's over, when it's over, I like what C.S. Lewis says, that when you know the play's over, when the author of the play steps out onto the stage, it's done. Everybody's done their part. Everybody's played their part out. The music comes to an end. And then the author of the play walks out. Victor Hugo walks out at the end of Les Miserables. It's over. Jesus comes out at the end of the play. It's over. It's done. And he's judge. He's going to judge the world. Not us, the world, for their ungodless and unbelieving way. And it says that the sword proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the throne, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Chapter 20, verse 1, then I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon. Now, if you had been reading the book of Revelation all the way up, you would know exactly who that is. But here he tells you, just to make sure you don't miss it, that serpent of old, who was the devil and Satan. The Old Testament refers to him as Lucifer. And bound him for 1,000 years. That's the millennium. Isn't that great? For the reign of Christ, and you and I will be reigning with Christ, for 1,000 years, Satan's bound. Now you need to know this. Will there be sin on the earth during that time? Answer, yes. You're going to read about it in a moment. Well, those people who are born in that age, what would they be like? We're going to read about that in a moment. Do they automatically believe in Jesus because his throne's in Jerusalem? They can see him. Nope. They will have to come to faith just like you have come to faith, just like the Old Testament saints came to faith. Isn't that weird? Think about the depravity of the human heart. How many people would say, if I could just see Jesus, I'd believe? It's not true. According to the Bible, it's not true. There will be a generation of people who will see him and they will reject his leadership over them. And the Bible tells you in many places about what happens to them. Wow. Let that settle in for some of you who are saying, I just need to see a miracle. If I see a miracle, I'll believe in God. No, you won't. If Jesus would speak to me, have him open up the sky, talk to me, I'll believe. No, you won't. It goes to show you how depraved the human heart is. We need to be changed from the inside out. There is no bit of reform. There is no New Year's Day, what's it called? Resolutions. There's no I promise, I pledge, sign on the dotted line, I'm going to reform myself. You may have the best intentions. I'm sorry, honey, I'll never do it again. You might have great intentions. You have no power in and of yourself to be true to that. We are lost without him. The best person on earth without Christ is lost. We are dead on the inside, the Bible says. Our thoughts are selfish. Our thoughts are man-centric, me-centric. We all know this is true about me and you. You love you. That's the problem. So I need more self-esteem. No, you do not need more self-esteem. No, I went to a psychologist. They said I need to think more highly of myself. No, you don't. It won't work. Now, I would submit to you that you need to see your true value, which is communicated to you from God's perspective. You want to have self-esteem, forget it. You should have God esteem, and you'll find out that you are the most cherished thing in the universe in the eyes of God. Amen. The moment you realize how valuable you are to God, then you can stand up against the evils of people. Amen. Think of the women who perpetually give themselves away sexually, looking for acceptance, looking for a real relationship. Think of it. They think by giving themselves up to some guy's hunger for the moment that he's going to accept her. It's a lie. It's all a lie. And for most of us, if not all of us, we've lived that lie. Oh, if you love me, wait a minute, translation. It's my universe, babe. Do everything for me. You exist for me. Make me happy, and I'll give you a couple of breadcrumbs along the way. This is humanity without God. Listen, young man, young woman, old man. God's value of you is infinite. It's beyond infinite, if there's anything possible. It cost him the death of his son. You're so valuable to him. Well, I don't respect myself. Stop that. See yourself in Jesus. See yourself in Christ. You are created in the image of God. Maybe the whole world discredited you and devalued you. God does not. Wouldn't it be amazing if you could just grab people today? It just doesn't work this way, but to just grab someone who's at the end of their rope and just be able to just tell them, okay, stop it right now. Let me tell you, this is what God thinks about you, and that they would believe it. Yes. Imagine that. He's going to restore government. When Jesus reigns, he's going to rule the world. Man without Christ is trying to rule the world. Satan wanted to rule the world. He told Jesus, if you just bow down and worship me, I'll give you the world. Isn't that wild? Remember that, you guys, in the great temptation? He said, well, that's not real, right? Jesus, that was like a, Satan was like, that was a stunt, right? No, that was real. Yeah, but Satan said if Jesus worshiped him, Satan would give Jesus the world. That's not true, is it? No, it's 100% true. Do you know that? Adam and Eve gave Satan the keys to the car, people. I mean, the keys to the planet. That's why, listen, we sing that song and we read in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, that John saw a seal, a scroll rolled up and sealed, and no one was worthy to loose the seals of the scroll or even look at it. And John said, I began to weep. But he said, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, I saw him as though he were a lamb that had been slain. The Son of God, he came and he opened, he took the book, he took the scroll and he began to loose its seals. That is the title deed to the earth and all. When Satan said, Jesus, just bow down and worship me, I'll give it to you. It's because he could. That's why your Bible tells you that Satan is the God, lowercase g, but still, Satan is the God of this age and the prince of the power of the air. Think about it. You and I are living on a planet that is, in fact, you and I are on enemy-occupied territory right now. This earth is alien. It's under Satan's sway. You think it's sad that babies are born blind or with no legs, or there's wars or there's evil? Of course you think it's terrible. You agree with God. Well, if God is so good, look at all this stuff. We've all heard this, have we not? God is so good. You are confusing what Satan has done by ravaging this world and laying that at God's feet. God told us in the beginning, it's all going to be awesome as long as you obey, but if you go do your thing, you're going to crush this thing. You crush it. And man said, I'll do it my way. And we've been crashing it ever since. But then God gets blamed for it when things go bad. Listen, you want to blame somebody? Blame Satan. And you can also blame Adam and Eve. And if it wasn't Adam and Eve, it'd probably be us. Exactly. But he's going to come back, and when he comes back, things like this will happen. Isaiah 35:1. Isaiah 35:1 says, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. We're kind of getting a glimpse of this right now in California with all the rain. The desert's exploding right now in color. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of the Carmel and Sharon, that's a valley. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellence of our God. I want to show you something, you guys. Look at this statement on the screen. I'll read it. You guys look at that while I read this. Just keep looking, and it'll make sense. I quote, vast areas and regions of wasteland make up the earth. The largest of these is the Sahara Desert in Africa. In Asia, there is the Gobi, the Karakum, and the Kwazalekum deserts. Deserts are found in northwest India, southern Pakistan, Afghanistan, the Middle East, including Israel, Iran, Iraq, Arabia. Although Europe has no desert, there are semi-arid regions in the vicinity of the Black and Caspian Seas. Now I'm going somewhere with this. Think of the deserts. The second largest desert in the world is the outback of Australia, especially in the central and western areas. South America also has deserts on the coast and the interior of Chile, the east of the Andes in Argentina and Patagonia. In North America, deserts are located in northern Mexico and extend through parts of the American Southwest. Rare and extreme desert conditions exist in the Mojave of Southern California, chief of which is the famed Death Valley of California's interior. This desert often hosts the hottest recorded temperatures on Earth. At Furnace Creek Ranch in Death Valley, California, a daytime recorded air temperature, not surface temperature, air temperature of 134.1 degrees Fahrenheit. Hot deserts comprise of one-fifth of the Earth's available land area. Equally considered as wastelands are the cold deserts, where low temperatures and a perpetual snowpack covering make them unavailable for plant life. The cold deserts comprise of about one-sixth of the Earth's landmass. Altogether, over one-third of the Earth's landmass is void of vegetation and is uninhabitable. See, what do you say that's for? The Bible says in Isaiah that when Christ comes back, he is going to cause the deserts to bloom. He says in those regions, there's going to be springs and waters that bring forth when he comes back. Think about the Earth's population. What could the Earth handle if all of it was inhabitable? Think of that. Most people today in the world live along coastland regions of the world. What if all of it was like Kauai or Maui? Imagine. He's going to fix all this. The red stuff that you see, he's going to undo this. This is part of the curse. He's going to do that. Let's keep moving on. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, the Bible says in Romans 8, 18, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the joy he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subject to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Think about all of this. It's absolutely amazing what he's saying. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. The full redemption when he comes. It is absolutely awesome.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a message called How to Change Your Mind, Part 3. So glad you joined us today. And you know, our prayer is this, that the Lord strengthens you and renews your mind towards him. How to Change Your Mind, Part 3. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. A series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Pastor Jack wants you to have access to resources that can really help you, especially during this time of the COVID-19 crisis. That's why his website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, is designed to guide you through life's challenges. Pastor Jack has included devotions that he himself writes, along with media sermons, instruction videos, podcasts, and how to know God in a personal way. You'll also find access to his YouTube channel and Facebook page. So head on over to the website and get connected. You'll find it all right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org or on the Real Life mobile app. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.